Good evening, group. My name is Cedric Matic. Thank God I stand here today clean. I was going over this topic about we do recover with my sponsor, right? And he was saying yesterday, he was saying that when you're talking about we do recover, that should be your right now story before you came in here. So I was thinking about, I say, talking about how I got here. I'm sorry. Went at the end of the road. How it was at the end of the road. So even now I'm feeling that way. But we started. I grew up in Southeast D.C. The youngest of 12 kids. You know, I'm the baby boy, so I thought it was kind of special being the 12th. But growing up, I really didn't like who I was. You know, somewhere along the line, we used to go to these little waistline parties in D.C. You know, get that little Boone's Farm, belly high, chip in, and get that little Boone's Farm. And what happened was, it gave me that false sense of security. I didn't like how skinny I was, I didn't like how big my nose was. I always wanted to be somebody else. But I realized when I was drinking that alcohol, that it changed my mood. It turned me into something I would. My nose shrank. Got barrel chested, you know. I felt like I talked to girls, you know, all these little insecurities and stuff that I had. But somewhere along the line, it changed. You know, it gravitated to started off smoking weed. Then I started, a guy on the corner gave me a little suggestion. You know, I was, started mainlining, started shooting dope. And that's my story. I shot dope and shot a lot of dope and shot a lot of bam, you know. When I came here, before I got here, a lot of things started happening to me. It's at the end of the road. Things that was happening to me, like I could remember giving my car away for the equivalent of $25, you know. A guy on the corner told me, shared with me that he gave me a bag of dope and a bag of cane. If I take him home on Palmeray Road, my first thought was I wanted to get that thing up in me. You know, I didn't want to take the time, you know, to let this guy, you know, once he gave me the drugs, well, I said, take my car, go ahead, I'll be all right. He took my car, got the drugs, sat there. The drugs wasn't no good, you know the story. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And the guy, he never came back. I sat on that corner for about an hour or two, and it dawned on me. And my best friend said, Cedric, how in the world can you give your car to somebody you really don't know? You know, and that was awakening. That should have been awakening for me, you know, during the course of my disease. That didn't tell me nothing. I kept doing what I was doing. You know, I ended up taking a suggestion, you know, that I get on methadone. Like I said, I got on methadone. Well, like I said, I was going there. I said I was going to start off 15 milligrams. You know, start off 15 milligrams. What happened was I kept going down to methadone clinic and taking urines and stuff. And they was telling me, how you going down there taking meth? You know, these dirty urines and had all this cocaine in your system. You know, they say you ain't doing nothing but killing yourself. One more time, you know, I didn't realize the destruction I was doing to myself, you know. And he said that when my end was my end, you know, at the end of my disease, you know, I just couldn't take what I was doing. I was on his job. I was making good money back then. I was making like $15 an hour at that time, you know. My boss told me, say, Cedric, if I don't take you off this job, if I don't let you go off this job, that you're either going to hurt yourself or hurt someone else. I'm in the printing industry. So what happened was he let me go. And that was back then when the mailmen and stuff was shooting up people and killing people. I mean, going back doing destructive things. And I thought to myself, well, I go back on this job, I'm going to burn it down. You know, they're going to let me off the job. Because I thought that all my money and time and stuff went towards getting used and finding means to get more. You know, and I just couldn't take the destruction that I was doing to myself. So I checked into a treatment center. Early on, you know, first of all, I was going down this place called Pathfinders. And I used to go down there regularly, but what happened was, I was going down there after I came from the Potomac Gardens, after I came, got what I needed. I was going to meetings under the influence. I don't suggest that for nobody. You know, I was going to meetings high, you know. I went to a detox center up Suburban Hospital. I stayed up there. I stayed up Suburban for like a week. You know, they let me out, you know, they really didn't have no meetings in there like I thought they did. But I got out of Suburban, and I went up to, 2 years later, I went up to Washington Hospital Center, because I spent like 89 to 92 trying to find a safe way to use it. It never dawned for me to stop. You know, I thought that if I could just use on paydays, maybe on holidays, you know, that maybe things would get all right. But when I was going down there, that place called Pathfinders, you know, there's a lot of people there, and then I seen a lot of people there. It was 89. But I guess you don't get this thing until God's time, you know, because if I really wanted it, you know, I would have wanted to have it then, you know. But what happened was I kept doing what I was doing, and I kept getting what I was getting, you know. So, and like I said, it just happened, you know. My structure to myself was just always doing the same. I was doing the same thing, expecting something different, you know. I started using, I burned up all the veins in my arm. You don't hear too many people talking about that now, you know. They talk about crack cocaine. I'm like a BC baby. I'm like before crack. You know, crackers were not really part of my story, but I guess if I really got into it, you know, I'd really be in trouble then, you know. So, but I started going in with Danny in the suburban hospital, got out of there in like the 2 weeks, got out of suburban in 2 weeks. And what happened was, again, I went back on the streets, thought that I could do it different. You know, I still had that job, you know, and I had that status symbol. The status symbol gave me the thought that I can go down to Potomac Gardens and get ticks and credit, what they talk about at that time. You know, I get things on credit. But what happened was that didn't end. So I'm never going to forget the end. You know, I'm never going to forget my end, because what happened was when they laid me off that job in 92, and the day is Friday the 13th, because I remember some more destructive stuff happening on Friday the 13th. I ended up, they woke me up one morning on this old job because of my behavior and my using. I was asleep on some mail bags, and the guy woke me up and saying that he was going to let me go, but he didn't fire me, though. You know, he just told me to try to get myself together. That didn't change nothing, you know. So from like 92 to 93, from 89 to 92, I was just still trying to find that safe way to use, and I was trying everything. Back then, my mother gave me some oil, sprinkled all on me, you know. That's supposed to help. I went and joined the Masons, you know. That didn't help. I was a danger to myself. That I always could tell myself when I was going to these meetings under the influence that maybe I could use just one. My story was always I could use just one. I can come in here and sit with you people for about an hour, hour and a half. But my destruction was after I got out of these rooms, after I got out of these rooms and heard all that information. And I still went out and did the same thing, expecting that something was going to change in it. But nothing changes, nothing changes. You know, I kept doing the same thing, and I kept getting what I was getting. And that's what brought me to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that was my end, you know, getting laid off that job. Everybody had their bottoms. My bottom was losing the job, because I was always a functional addict. I used to look at other guys and say out there on the corner and all that stuff that if I got that bad, you know, I might stop, you know, but I had that job and that status symbol, and I thought that, you know, that wasn't going to happen to me, you know. But well, what happened was it brought me down, because I didn't believe that nobody went through all the things that I went through in my life, you know. Being the youngest, you know, I went through so many things that, say, ain't nobody possibly to go through all these things in their life. But I got here in Narcotics Anonymous, man, my thing was just that small, you know. It really wasn't that bad, you know, from some of the things that I went through. I got in here, you know, I got in here with a sponsor, you know. My sponsor is Paul M. My home group is a Living Clean group. We meet in Central Maryland, you know, every Sunday at 4:30. You know, I started getting with people, you know, after I got in here, early on in here, that kind of directed me to trying to live a better way of life, a new way of life, you know, because one for Narcotics Anonymous, you know. I don't think I know what I do, you know, without you people kind of like pointing me in the right direction. And what happened was, you know, my life started getting a little better. Things started changing in my life, you know. And right now I got like 5 grandkids. And none of them seen grandpa under the influence of anything. They may have seen me cut up, you know. But they never seen me do anything destructive than that, you know. And I owe that all of you people, you know. And I always be talking about my grandkids, because I was there when all of them there was born. All of them born. They see me as I am, the people that you all made me. Y'all made me a better person. You know, last week, you know, just recently, my youngest daughter, you know, she's married. She had two grandsons. I had to bury her mom's last Saturday. You know, she passed from cancer. You know, we had to do that part of being supportive for my daughter in that area. You know, and things that, you know, after you be around here a few 24 hours, you know, you realize things change. You know, you deal with health issues, you deal with aging issues, you know, can't remember shit. You see me, I'm doing it, I'm trying to, you know, you just go through all the things that you come in here with. You know, I had gray hair when I came in here. I had black, my hair was black, you know, with a little streak of gray in it, you know. Over the years, the gray has struck all over my head now, you know. So that's why I kind of like wear a hat now, you know. But it's just good, it's good, you know, it's good to be asked. I want to thank CPRCNA 32, you know, on how do you say, taking a chance on a guy like me. Because I always feel, and me and Zakoy was talking about, I always feel there's always somebody else better to do what you're doing, you know. You know, I always think that with all the people that's in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, why would I be asked or have the honor of standing up here sharing my experience, my strength, and my hope? But I think that's only God's will, you know, in all that you do. You know, all you can do is share your experience in this process, you know. So I'm not unique. Because when I came in here, I thought I was unique. Like I said, I thought that I was indifferent. But after you sit around here and do a little things and work on yourself, you realize that you're not unique, you know, and for the greater good, the program does work, you know, even if I don't want it to work, you know. I done been through some things in here, you know, over the years, you know. I got married in the program, you know. I got divorced in the program, you know, and at this time right now, I'm a happily married man, you know, and that's something I really couldn't do prior to coming in here, all the things that I was, you know. I was a very outright guy, you know. I did a lot of things that I shamed, you know, but really what I realized today is that you're talking about why we got here, you know, is that, but I put a little writing in the book and they were saying about that too, when at the end of the road. Well, the sponsor also said that even when you get here, you know, that's what got you here. Now you got to live the life you want to live in order to stay here. You know, I'm going to read this, what it says right here. It says, when at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all have to face that awesome dilemma. What is there left to do? I said to myself many a times, you know, before I actually stopped using, like, all them detox, well, two detox in the treatment centers, that what do you do when you're not using? You know, that was my biggest dilemma. You know, my life was so consumed with finding ways and means to get more, I didn't know what could I do to function if I didn't have drugs in my life, you know. Back then, I was smoking a pack of half a cigarette, shooting up. Bag of dope, bag of cane a day. You know, I had a big old fro. I was calling myself Billy D. Williams, you know. I was totally insane. They saying insanity and stuff that we do and think of ourselves prior to getting here, you know. So I had a lot of work to do in order to get settled down, you know, in this process. And right now, there's so many people out there that helps me on a daily basis, you know, to get through this thing. Because some days my insecurities and my feelings and stuff will pick up, you know. Trying to be the man, father, and a grandfather that I would like to be, you know. And that comes into play, you know. But I know that with y'all support and y'all help, that I can get through this thing one day at a time. I get through it. They don't say that too much now, you know. But life is good. Life is good. And he told me that at the end of the road is my process of getting here, and that surely will keep me here if I keep that up in front, you know, and just follow the path that was already laid. And I guess y'all know, as everybody else know, after you've been here a while, a lot of people that I know have transitioned on, you know. It's like, you know, every day or every weekend that I'm on Facebook and I know 500 people, and every time I look on Facebook, somebody's mother, father, brother, sister, is passing. You know, somebody's passing. And I can't really attend all these affairs because of my job schedule, even if I could, you know. But that's why I know I got to be careful about myself, because last year I went through a lot of health issues personally. You know, I did all kind of stuff. They suggested I get shots in my back or get back surgery, you know, because I had, you know, and 17 years in the program, I was diagnosed a diabetic, you know, and the doctor told me, he said, yeah, I diagnosed you a diabetic, but 90% of the cure is up to you, you know. I think, dang, I heard that before, and I thought, I'm anonymous, I'm saying to myself, you know, all it's up to me, you know, what I do, you know. So I'm trying to get better with my eating habits, even though that's still a process, you know, I got to go do it. You know, I need people to encourage me because I don't always know for myself what's good for me. Because I can still be a destruction to myself, even with 26 years clean. You know, it still can be hard, you know. I can be hard on myself, you know, and I can say that, you know, sometimes I just want to not give up, but, you know, and say, well, that's life, you know, and I just got to let it be. You know, I just got to move on, let it be, and do what I got to do in order to stay here clean. You know, that's basically where it's at. I'm glad to be here, and again, I'm glad the program for Narcotics Anonymous, and it's going to be a good convention, so this ain't no doom and gloom meeting, man. It's about life, you know what I'm saying? We come down here every year to have some fun. So I say, if I can get this thing out of the way, I intend to enjoy myself this weekend. I ain't coming down no doom and gloom, grandkids, nothing. I want to come down here, have a good time, fellowship you people. And I want to tell y'all, I love all of you people. And looking forward to see you around this weekend. And let's do this thing, y'all. Peace. Thank you for letting me share.